think that some people think they live in Kentucky or something. I won't say any more. Psalm 23. We've been looking at verse 5. I'm going to look at the last part of that verse. Thou anointest my head with oil. We saw last week that he prepares, last couple weeks, he prepares a table that in the presence of our enemies, plural, personal, and we saw some of the things that the enemies do throughout the Psalms. But he continues here in verse 5 to draw a picture. Thou anointest my head with oil. There's personal contact made here between the shepherd and the sheep. The figure that David presents, again, David himself was a shepherd, so he presents figures relating to that. But the figure that he presents or refers to was custom, of course, of the Eastern shepherd. And what we have here speaks of the end of the day. This is something that would transpire at the end of the day. We see from John chapter 10, Jesus uses the sheepfold as an analogy. And again, that's where the shepherd would lead his sheep at the end of the day and would commit his sheep to the porter. And the porter would watch those sheep throughout the night. The shepherd would return in the morning. And that's what Jesus refers to when he says the sheep know the shepherd's voice. The shepherd didn't need to climb over the wall. He could go to the door. The porter would recognize him. He'd call his sheep. His sheep would come. But as he takes his sheep into the sheepfold, remember again the rod. You've got all his sheep are lined up, and he's going to use that rod to prevent this sheep from going ahead of this sheep. And then what he does is he inspects this sheep before he hands the sheep over to the porter. And then he pours oil on the sheep's head. In doing so, he puts one hand on the sheep and then, of course, uses the other hand to pour the oil. And then he would apply the oil to the sheep's head. So there's personal contact here. Everything else that we read in this psalm does not necessitate personal contact, but what we have here does. I'm not saying that there isn't personal contact in any of the other things mentioned, but it does not necessitate personal contact. But what we have here does. So it's a beautiful picture of Christ very tenderly ministering to his own, tending to his sheep, caring for his sheep, looking after his sheep, helping his sheep, assisting the sheep, being of service to the sheep. And that's what the shepherd does. That's what the shepherd is. And that's what the Lord is to you and I. Now, all through the gospel accounts, there's record of Christ coming into personal contact with needy individuals and ministering to their needs. And in doing so, he brings relief and he brings refreshment that only he can give. And that's what you have a picture of here in these words, thou anointest my head with oil. It is the Lord coming into personal contact with us, ministering to our needs, bringing us relief bringing us refreshment, restoring us. So, again, all through the Gospels, we see Jesus healing individuals. Sometimes he just spoke a word. It wasn't the usual. We know with Jairus, again, he spoke the word at distance. No personal contact. But for the most part, the recorded miracles of Christ, there was personal contact between Christ and the one who was being healed. And we see this over and over. And again, it's a picture of how the Lord ministers to us. He comes and he makes personal contact. And when that happens, you know it. You know it. It's sad, but it's good, but it is sad that so many of God's people, they act as if they have to convince you that the Lord made personal contact. That you don't have to convince me. I believe it. I've experienced it many, many times, and we hopefully experience it every single day. The Lord coming and making personal contact with us. Now notice some of these examples in the book of Matthew, chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Verses 1 through 3. And when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. So there's many people, but our attention is drawn to one. And behold, there came a leper. So out of this great multitude, our attention is drawn to this leper. This leper came and worshipped him, saying, that is, he was in a spirit of worship, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. That's always true. If thou wilt, thou can. That's always true of the Lord. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. He didn't have to do that. He could have just spoken, commanded the leprosy to be gone, and would have been gone. But he put forth his hand and touched him. And I believe the reason Jesus did that here is because, again, no one touched the leper. Because it was so highly contagious, you just didn't touch a leper. But again, it shows that Jesus is above the leprosy. So he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. So there was the touch of the Lord. The result was immediate. The result is always immediate when the Lord touches. Now notice in Matthew chapter 9, again reading with verse 27. When Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. So we've gone from the street to the house. And Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, according to your faith be it unto you. Once again, he didn't have to touch them to bring healing, but he did. There's something special about contact from the Lord. The Lord Christ touched them. Matthew 17, we see the apostles are up upon what is known as the Mount of Transfiguration. Christ is displayed in his glory before them. And in verse 7, well, in verse 6, and when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them. Now, he could have just spoken, arise, be not be afraid. But he touched them first, and then he spoke those words. Again, the Lord, the fact that the Lord makes contact with us is an amazing thing. The fact that he wants to is an amazing thing, that he makes personal contact with us. The Lord doesn't just make personal contact with us when he disciplines us. This ought to be more of our experience than the disciplining part. The Lord just coming and touching us. And you know what? When the Lord touches us, he doesn't have to say anything. That touch speaks everything. In the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 29, and forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Simon's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon, or immediately, they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand. Personal contact once again. He didn't have to do that, but he did. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately her fever, immediately the fever left her. And then she served them and ministered unto them. Notice verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him, saying to him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. This is Mark's account of what we already read in Matthew. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. So there we see the Lord touches, and there is a spirit of compassion when he does so. It's just a gentle touch. He makes contact. Mark chapter 7, verse 32 and 33. And they bring unto him one that was deaf. This is one, by the way, out of the over 4,000 that had come to him. And had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude. He's dealing with him personally. Put his fingers into his ears and spit and touched his tongue. Once again, the Lord makes personal contact. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. Verse 16, and he took them up, these children, in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Now, obviously, when he took them up in his arms, he was touching them. But it mentions separately, took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them. That is, there was a special touch. He's touching them when he picks them up. But there's a special contact being made. In Luke chapter 4, verse 40. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them individually and healed them. And devils also came out of many. So once again, we have personal contact. Luke chapter 7, verses 12 through 14. Well, here we will not read these verses, but we see the widow woman of Nain. They're in a funeral procession for her only son. The Lord saw her, verse 13, he had compassion on her. And he said unto her, weep not. In other words, stop crying. That almost seems cold. And then in verse 14, and he came and touched the buyer, touched the casket. And then he spoke. And we see the son was raised to life. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Verse 11, behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together, could no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. Could have stopped right there. But it says he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. So over and over and over, we see Jesus making contact with needy individuals. Matthew 20, verse 28, Jesus said that he did not come to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So here in Psalm 23, thou anointest my head with oil. It's the end of the day. And the shepherd, out of compassion for the sheep, out of concern for the sheep, inspects them, anoints their head with oil, personally applies that oil to the head of the sheep. And how wonderful it is when the Lord comes to us, personally applies to us his word, personal contact. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's something we ought to long for. It's something we ought to pray for, that the Lord come to us, that the Lord put forth his hand upon us. We, of course, are to go to him, but we can't go to him like he can come to us. There's a world of difference. And when he comes to us, he does so with intent. He does so with purpose. And again, it's not to destroy, but it's to minister to his sheep. So this is a wonderful picture that the psalmist paints. It's also a picture of the person and the influence of the Holy Spirit. And we'll look at that next week. And there are many things that this scene pictures concerning the Holy Spirit and ourselves. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We do thank you, Lord, that you came to us personally and saved our soul. And Lord, we thank you that you still come to us and you make contact with us. You speak to us. You touch us. Lord, we thank you for that. We pray, Lord, that you would cause us to always long for that personal contact with thee. We do pray, Lord, that you'd be with each one of us today, that you would draw us closer to you, cause us, Lord, to be more like thee. We do pray for the lost, that you'd speak to their hearts, open their hearts to salvation. We pray, Lord, that you'd just help us to worship you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.